Okay, this is the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee. Can you please do roll call?
Chair Collins.
Here.
Legislator Kovacs.
Here.
Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator McCullough is not here. Legislator Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Sperry.
Here.
Legislator Uchitel.
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. And please, everyone, use your mics. I'm going to try and use mine and not forget about it. Is this far enough or close enough?
No.
No? Got to be closer?
Yeah.
Okay. Not too close, like 6 inches.
I know, the distance is like...
6 inches.
6 inches. Not that. Okay. Calling meeting to order. Do I have a motion to approve the October 24, 2024 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Kathy Nolan, or Legislator Nolan.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Sperry. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So today we're going to have a couple presentations, one by the Tourism and Economic Development. I think Lisa Berger is going to do both of those presentations, correct?
I am.
Okay.
I'm going to. Good afternoon, legislators. I'm going to try to talk to you. Can you hear me fine? Okay,
no.
Great.
No.
Is that better?
Yeah.
So I am here to talk specifically in regard to the question that was posed in an email from Legislator Collins, which was for some information regarding the impact of tourism impact of our rail trail system, as well as the Catskill Mountain Railroad. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. It's just about the tourism impact. So I did want to start kind of with a quote, which we use often in our presentations. And this is kind of the way that we have positioned Ulster County as a place to seek and to see. So I do think definitions are important, and I think that it's important that we all be on the same page when we're talking today. So here is the U.S. Commerce Department definition of a tourist. It's someone who travels 50 miles or more one way and or stays overnight in a paid accommodation. And so that is what classifies someone as a tourist. So when I was tasked with this, I actually thought about it, and these rail corridors, they're three separate entities that use our rail corridors, right? So there are our various rail trails and the Empire State Trail, and I include the Empire State Trail in that. They're the Catskill Mountain Railroad, and they're the Catskill, and they are rail explorers. So I looked at data that I have for all three in order to make a full presentation to you all. So you don't need to, I'm gonna quick step you through what my main data source is. That data source is, I am able to read mobile visitors data. It's important for all of you to know that this is, it's a computer system, the company's name is Rove Marketing that supplies it. This is just a look at the dashboard so you can understand the kind of data I can look at, and I can look at it not quite in real time. It's always going to be a look back. I can't look at it currently. What it is reading is your cell phone, and this system knows where your cell phone sleeps at night. So when I'm talking about this mobile data, this data is only representing visitors. It knows that the cell phones I'm reporting on don't usually sleep here. So that's important. So I'm just showing you the kind of data that I can get, the average length of stay, you know, how long they're staying, how many are repeat visitors, average distance traveled, popular times to visit. But this is when I can get into the heart of what this system can do. What you're looking at, whoops.
What happened? There it is.
Yeah. What you're looking at there is I am able to sort for all these, I forgot to tell you one very important thing. So our locations are geofenced. And what that means is somebody's drawn like a magic line. I know that if you should tell, can technically tell you what this means, but I can't. But around these places, and it's able to read your cell phone when you are inside those parameters. So what you're looking at here is I was able to say to this system, please tell me the top 10 places visited in Ulster County. And this is them in order, okay? So I do want to point out, like, there's some weird quirks in the data. You'll see that Rocking Horse Ranch is there twice. One is Rocking Horse Ranch, and the other says Main House. It's just that Rocking Horse had messy data, and that's why it looks like that. But anyway, so these would be the top 10 places overall that are visited in Ulster County. So you need to, so of course it's not a surprise that Mohonk Mountain House is there, Rocking Horse Ranch, you know, these shouldn't be too big a surprise. These are the most popular attractions, the top 10 popular attractions in Ulster County. And so what you see there is the Empire State Trail represents 59% of visitation. And what I will say to you about that is that incorporates, right, it incorporates part of the walkway over the Hudson Valley Rail Trail, the Waukeel Valley Rail Trail. Then when you come into Kingston, and on through to where Sojourner Truth State Park is. I thought that as I was looking at this, it was important for me to reach out to rail explorers and ask them for their numbers. Since I have Catskill Mountain Railroad's numbers, I thought it was important for me to reach out to them and ask them their numbers. So what you see here is reported by rail explorers for this year. And as you see, their ridership grew by almost 10%. And this is where they report their bookers as coming from: New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts, okay? So, and the reason I have this in here is to show you that when my data takes a look at it, it really, it's not giving me those states, but if you look at the distance traveled, it matches. So I'm just trying to tell you that we're all on the same page as far as I'm concerned. So let me keep going here. This is Catskill Mountain Railroad's visitation numbers. I reordered the pie chart a little because the way it was broken down by county, because I'm in tourism, I think regionally. So what you see there is you see Ulster County, the number of people coming from Ulster County, the percentage from the Hudson Valley region, which would be Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Orange, Dutchess, and Sullivan counties is in there, even though they are not part of the Hudson Valley. But I didn't have any place else to put them. The Capital District is going to be the visitation reported by the Catskill Mountain Railroad from the North Capital and the South Capital. So I just want to point out that what you're seeing there, what you're seeing there is pretty much like a 50-50 local to outdoors. Now, I do want to address right now why I don't have geofenced information for Catskill Mountain Railroad. And it's nothing nefarious. It's that where they board their riders is at a is in a parking lot where a lot of traffic comes in and out. And working with the people who do this, they felt as though I would get too much noise. And in fact, we had done this with a different location, whose name I won't mention, and it was so, the information was so off base that we threw that entire geofence out, and we don't have that location anymore. And when I was working with the people that do this, they were like, this is a parking lot in the middle of, it's in the middle of a very busy in and out, and we aren't going to be able to say for sure what your ridership is. So I don't want anybody to think that we didn't want to geofence them or didn't try to geofence them. I'm personally concerned about geofencing like further up, just with the, where like as the train is pulling in, because I'm not or pulling through would be an alternative, right? Just because I'm not certain that I'm gonna get the right data. I just am not 100% sure. And where they stop to cross 299 will create noise of cars that are there. It can't measure it out. So I didn't try not to. I want everybody to know that, okay? it just is what it is. So Ulster County's brand, 18 years ago, when Rick Remschneider took over Ulster County Tourism, and at that time I was in the department as well, a decision was made that the county's focus was going to be on the great outdoors. That was our competitive advantage. And it is proven that that competitive advantage is, that is in fact our competitive advantage. We have, we created a brand, we've created campaigns, not just around the beauty of our great outdoors, but all the things that are already seen and do in the great outdoors. Me looking at this data and looking at these three different data sets, I was saying to somebody earlier that I think I could write a 25-page paper after I did it, and I'm kind of grateful to the committee for all the work that I had to do to look at it. And I don't want to bore you with everything that I looked at. My takeaway is this. These three entities are vital to the visitation of Ulster County. They're important to us. They serve three different purposes. More importantly, me looking at the data, I can tell you that these resources are important to people inside the county as well as people outside the county. They are very important. They serve from a visitation only stance. They serve different audiences. And I think that's important. And one's not better, one's not worse. The department's job is to look at markets and to think to themselves, where can we grow? Where can we expand? Who aren't we reaching? What aren't we doing? I can only say that after going through this, that the thing they all have in common is they allow people access to the outdoors who may not otherwise be able to have it. And that is really important. One is certainly more, you know, one outlet can be seen as more family friendly than another. One may be seen as more adventurous. One may be, you know, more all use. I'm not sure. But I do know this. I do know that they're important to Ulster County's visitation because they are outdoor attractions. And I'm gonna close just by telling you, hold on, oops, I'm going around my house, sorry. I'm gonna close, oops, just by telling you that literally in the beginning of this week, this brand that I've never, this is an ad agency that I've never heard of from across the country, reached out to Ulster County Tourism, sent me a sweatshirt and a note inside that said, we love what you're doing. We think that your outdoor brand is a match for ours. They represent Cargill, Under Armour, Carhartt, some big fancy branch somewhere. And all I'm saying is that the brand that has been developed, it is based on outdoors and that it's being seen and recognized by people outside of Ulster County. And I don't know if this helps you in any way, shape, or form with your conversation, But if anybody wants reports, like the actual, you know, the data that I pulled, I'm happy to give it to you. It is literally report after report that I kind of compiled and just did this on. So, but I'm happy to forward it.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Legislator Nolan.
Yes, thank you, Lisa Berger. That is really helpful. Can you talk a little bit about the county's hitting $1 billion in tourism revenue and what that represents? Mm-hmm. And then I have some other items.
I did forget to point that out. Yes, we in 2023, the county brought in over $1 billion in visitor spending and more than $575 million in accommodation. So that is a reflection of the fact that our message has continually been not just to come here, but to stay here. And that's what people are doing, that they're staying here. And I do think that being a four-season destination is very helpful for us. And the only other important little note about that dollar figure is that we rank third in the 10-county Hudson Valley Catskill region, the 12-county Hudson Valley Catskill region. We're third behind Westchester County and Orange County in terms of visitor spending. And what's remarkable about that is Westchester County has a ton of meeting and convention. That's what drives them. And Orange County has two of the biggest attractions in the state, Woodbury Commons and Legoland. So the fact that we have recognized that nature is important to us seems to be paying off.
I have a technical question, too. Since Rail Explorers has had similar growth over the past several years as the CMRR, is it possible we could geofence them? And would that, and if you have that information, where are they? They have a similar, but in the past 2 years, lower reported ticket sales.
Right. They are geofenced. I can pull that report for you and send it to you. They were easy to geofence. They're like self-contained there. So what we do see is that their geofencing data about how far people are coming away matches what they're reporting. And I think that it's important for you to remember that, so they have 30,000 people and they're a weather-dependent attraction. And, you know, some of those state parks and the walkway over the Hudson and some of our biggest drivers literally bring in between 400,000 and 600,000 people a year. I mean, so it looks like, and yet, as I mentioned in the very beginning, all three are important to the tourism economy. Yeah.
Maybe just one other follow-up is that, so you gave us the top 10 of the mobile insights that you were able to geofence, and on the first top 10 that you were, the second one was attractions.
Attractions only, so that kicked out my hotel, all the hotel accommodations, because, the lodging. So, you know, Mohonk Mountain House has 500 rooms. They're going to rank way up there. And Rocking Horse similarly has more than 250 rooms. So,
but on lodging plus attractions, the Empire State Trail still beat out those two lodging.
Yes. Well, again, I think that my interpretation of that data is it's reading. So the way I have that geofence, it's reading all of those linked rail trails.
Oh, so it's the Empire State Trail and those links, right?
It's okay. Because that's what the Empire State Trail is.
Okay, great. And the Ashokan Rail Trail, which would be a separate geofence,
that's right,
comes in number four after those two lodgings. And so when you do just attractions, the Empire State Trail and those linked trails are 60%, and then the Ashokan Rail Trail is second with another 5%.
Right.
Where would Rail Explorers be on that list?
So I have to run the whole, just all of my attractions and see where they come out. At 30,000 visitors, they're going to be someplace in the top 20. Mm-hmm. But it would be my guess. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else? any legislators. I'll do a couple questions from the audience. Kevin?
Yeah, one comment, Lisa, or question. You geofenced the Ashokan, but only the Woodstock Dyke Trailhead, correct? Or do you have both?
I fixed that. I did fix that.
So you have the Ashokan Station and Boyceville as well in those numbers?
Yes. It's where you're seeing the Ashokan Rail Trail. That is the Woodstock Dyke Trailhead. I did actually take a look at, it's so interesting, at the difference in the reports between the two trailheads.
Yep.
And what I found out is that the average length of stay on the Woodstock Dyke one is almost 3 hours. And interestingly, and this, I'll tell you, I love when I do this because I always learn something. That I would have assumed that the Boyceville one would have been, people would have been staying longer, but it's exactly the opposite. They're at the Boyceville trailhead for about 1.9 hours. So that's telling me that like probably bicycle people are coming in at the bottom, riding to the top, and then coming back. It's just a guess. And then the other really thing that I kind of fell down on is that I never geofenced the promenade at the Ashokan Reservoir, so I don't have any numbers on that. I don't have that geofenced.
I have one follow-up question, Jeff, if I might. Can you speak about the trends in tourism, specifically outdoor active tourism, and what you're seeing industry-wide, but especially also here in the county, as we have created now and are growing so many premier outdoor destinations and facilities?
So U.S. Travel did a really great, a terrific webinar for us a couple weeks ago, and so active tourism is a huge, huge trend for 2025. People looking to get outside, to do things, connecting with nature is a trend, which also, it's so ironic that active tourism, where you're doing something actively, is a trend, as is what's this movement called slow tourism, where you can slow down and connect with nature and leave your phone home and all that. I just think it's so funny that both of them are a trend for 2025. But these are certainly things that that the traveler is leaning into, and I can also say that also in the top five that they talked about was nostalgia, and it seems like millennials and Gen Zers are incredibly nostalgic, and this is what they're looking for. And then, you know, what are called, so I don't like calling it dupes, but there's a real movement in younger people to go places that are less expensive and to do more active things. So those are the things they covered.
Thank you.
This is a direct follow-on. How does EV tourism, it had been growing, is it still part of the picture?
So they did not, that was actually one of the questions that they had at the end, where they were like, are you more concerned or less concerned? And it didn't move year to year. There were some very surprising findings in that about things that were big a year ago that like had fallen off. That was one of them that didn't change. So people are interested in it. Sustainable tourism is that actually went up. People are still very concerned about that and not overcrowding. Like in the questions, like are you more concerned or less concerned? That was like part of what they did.
Legislator Stewart.
Thank you for this presentation, Director Berger. I was wondering if you could tell us if you have figures on the amount that the county gets for each dollar spent on tourism, and by tourism I would mean, you know, working on trail, you know, investing in trail networks. And
so it's so hard to do that, right? There's an industry standard idea that the average day visitor spends between $50 and $68, and then the overnight visitor spends about $125, and so that's why overnight visitation is prized, right? Because we're always looking to grow visitation and grow the a market share that maybe we missed before. So I don't know about the direct investment and how much it returns, but I can say this: Minnewaska State Park, you know, has put a lot of money into Minnewaska State Park since the pandemic, and they keep seeing increased visitation. It's just making it easier for the visitor.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that.
Yep.
Please say your name.
Meg Carey. Thank you very much for this information, and it's the first time that I've heard, and I really appreciate hearing that based on your information, you believe that all three of our local attractions are vital.
They are.
And the trails for bicyclists and walkers and runners and dog walkers and rail explorers is a lot of fun once. My experience. And the Catskill Mountain Railroad provides an all-weather and for any ability level, which we had heard in past years, people saying, I'm disabled and this would be the only way I can get out into parts of the country that I can't normally see.
So it also provides an experience for families. So I think that's important, and just, you know, me drawing on my own experience, not with the Catskill Mountain Railroad, but with the trolley. When my grandchildren were like 2 and 3, I loved that 20-minute trolley ride because it was just enough. They went someplace, they thought it was fun, they threw some rocks in the water, and then they got back on. So it's important to have, that's why it's important to have a mix. Like, a tourism department likes to have a mix in everything, right? You know, because you want to attract as many people as you can.
Any other questions? Okay, we're going to move on. So we do have materials that have been provided by the public. I'll go through them and just talk about them quickly, introduce them. The first one that I will talk about is the CMRR operating results from 2024. It looks like this. It's the one with the numbers on the front, ridership numbers on the front. This was submitted to the legislature, and anything that I see, I put in public domain just to make sure that it comes to this meeting. Are there any questions or comments on this particular document? Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. Just one question. I think this is ticket sales numbers. It's reported as ridership. I don't know if we have any data on ridership.
Okay.
So if the CMRR wants to correct me on that, then happy to have it, but I think we should think of it as ticket sales.
Okay. Any other comments on this particular document? Okay. Next one I'm going to show is the PFRAP grant. This came in a couple days ago. Later about the PFRAP grants. Any questions or comments on this particular document? This is from the CMR.
What's the date on that document?
January 21st.
Okay, sorry.
It's the one addressed to Dennis.
It's the one addressed to Dennis. Yes.
I don't see it. Sorry. Yeah, I read it. So I have it. Thank you. This letter includes descriptions of moving Phil and using this award to do a rail with trail, as it's called here, extension of the corridor. So this says that the county will need to apply for a New York State DOT TAP grant. This seems to be the proposal of a new project. Maybe it's details that fill in some of the comments that have been made in general terms about how rail plus trail would be attempted. But this is proposal to apply for a new PFRAP grant. I would just want to point out in relationship to this that the county, that the CMRR has pledged money from PFRAP currently that is not, that I would like to have a report on the status of. I don't know if the CMRR has obtained any of that money and used it for any of the things that they have been saying that they would do or would like to do or are doing. But I know that the county's concerns about those grants, which were articulated in a letter from Deputy Executive Amanda Laval to DOT, have not been addressed. And so I just, you know, for clarification for myself, for the committee, and for the public, this is not the PFRAP grants that we've been talking about. This is some additional new PFRAP application. And I continue to get a lot of comments sent in, and maybe deal with some of them in some of our later correspondence, where people are confused about why the county, what the county's role in that PFRAP, prior PFRAP application was. So maybe we can address that as a committee. I think the letter from Helen Chase talks about why the county is holding this up. The county is just pointing out the deficiencies in the application that was submitted without its knowledge and cooperation, as I understand it. So I don't see this committee or the county holding up something that is otherwise set up to go. The county has identified deficiencies that would need to be addressed. And the part of the deficiency is that there's no policy for the undesignated section. That's what this committee is set up to look at. And it seems to me that this new letter, like the prior letter, seems to be requesting a particular outcome on this process for their proposal. And I feel it's important for us to say we're, at least I'm, not agnostic in terms of anything that might come from the recommendation that this group makes to the legislature and then the legislature does in terms of this section. But I don't understand applications reaching this level before that process is completed. So I don't think there's a single place in the letter that I can point to and say there's the problem. But the letter as a whole seems to me to be asking for something that I don't know how the planning director can give it to them, because it depends upon how that section would be used. We haven't determined that yet. Not we haven't determined it. Not that this committee hasn't determined it. The legislature hasn't made a proposal. The executive hasn't weighed in. It seems like there's a very big process. And some of the correspondence seems to think that either doesn't understand there is a process or think we've already gone through it. And there is a process. And I think we're in that process, not completed it.
No, I think that's correct. I think that we do have a process we're going through. I think that process is unlikely to be completed by April 7th, as it says in this deadline here. That process, we haven't come up with a recommendation yet. The recommendation has not gone to a public hearing. The public hearing has not been held. The legislature as a whole has not had a chance to weigh in on it, and the executive has not had a chance to weigh in on it. All of those things take time. And that's going to go, I can't imagine going before September or April 7th of this year.
Are
you using your microphone?
I am.
Okay. I'm having a hard time.
Sorry, I'm not. If I get too close, it gets sparky. If I get too far, it's not. I'll try to do the right exact length. Any other questions or comments on the PFRAP letter, I'll call it? Okay, the next thing I want to introduce, is the comments on highest and best use of the Kingston-Ashokan section of the UND corridor, a public resource for Ulster County. This is a larger document. It's been prepared by William Sheldon, who I have never met in person, so I don't know that. Legislator Stewart.
I had a question about Mr. Sheldon's work. I mean, he just voluntarily did this, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And I mean, I just saw this today, and I haven't really had a chance to read all 47 or whatever pages.
It's a long document, and yes. I do encourage all members of the legislature to read it. When you have a chance. I know you just got it today, so.
Right. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. Add a little bit. Dr. Sheldon is somebody who has lived in Ulster County a long time. I don't know how long. But he has been a cyclist and a member of various groups that were promoting outdoor activities in the county. Used to be a frequent person attending the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee meetings, and he has been a part of the trail community's attempts to use Camoyne associates who are economists who have given information to the county on the potential economic benefit of trails. Dr. Sheldon has been important for interpreting and expanding on the findings of the Camoyne studies. He attended most, if not all, of the committee meetings of the first Ulster and Delaware advisory committee to be informed about this, and he's been active in looking for ways to promote the Empire State Trail and been active with the groups that are trying to make connections to the Empire State Trail. This report is in his area of expertise, and it puts on paper many things that he has said over the years to the various trail groups about some of these considerations. So it doesn't come out of left field for me and for the trails community. He hasn't been attending these meetings, but he would make himself available, I think, if we wanted to invite him here, either in person or right now he's out of the country, so either in person or by Zoom, if the committee would like him to walk through this. If he doesn't do that, I think it's very clear, and so we as a committee could walk through it together.
Let's consider that for a future agenda, and we'll talk amongst ourselves once you get a chance to read it all. Excuse me. It is a long document. I don't want to make a snap decision on how we're going to treat it right now. Thank you. Legislator Stewart.
I was going to just add that I would be interested in hearing from Professor Sheldon as well, and I think it's also one thing that I would really like to hear from this committee as well is from the administration. I know that there have been allegations of, I don't want to say improprieties, but there have been allegations of things that have not gone by the book. And I think it would be really behoove us all to hear from Deputy Executive Laval some of her experiences with these situations that I definitely think, you know, need to be discussed. And so I would encourage us to get Deputy Executive Laval on our schedule, as well as this gentleman, Professor Sheldon.
So that actually brings up a question. There was a discussion of having this meeting postponed until next week in case we could not get the tourism stuff done in time. Luckily, we got it in time. So is next week still a possibility for legislators to do another session of this?
Thursday,
4:30.
We do it at 5?
5 is fine.
I do it at 5.
Does that work for everyone? Okay, and if I do think it would be useful to have Professor Sheldon here to comment on this. This gives us a week to read over it and to ask questions. Is that appropriate for the legislature? Is that agreeable? Okay. I'm going to move on to the next letter, which is a letter from Helen Chase. This arrived in my mailbox today. It's dated the 18th. I just saw it today. I got that distributed also. Like I said, anything I get, I'm going to distribute. It's just my way. Lastly, there's a request from Legislator Uchitel on the what am I looking at here? The air quality reports. Those have been included also in the packet.
Thank you. Can I speak on that?
Yes, you can.
Thank you, Chair. So I noticed that there's a couple of letters here. This was communication. So I received a constituent issue that I passed along to the executive in the fall or in the early winter. And it seems that the executive, which is what I was asking them to do, reached out to the Castle Mountain Railroad to ask about that. And I think the constituent reached out to them also. They kind of reached out to lots of people. And but this is the first time that we've gotten this material, correct? Was once I started asking about it in advance of this meeting?
That's correct.
Yes, that's correct.
So there's a couple of storylines that are happening here. One is, you know, we've received a complaint from a constituent, right? And this is my first time in the legislature being involved in decision-making specifically about the agreement for the Castle Mountain Railroad. It's just been leased from rules up until now. So I'm getting up to speed on this, right? And when I get a complaint from a constituent, I take it seriously, right? And I can see that there are things that might explain it. There's things that I kind of want to verify. I'm consuming this information for the first time now. I understand that some of the sensors had high readings for pollution, but there's theories about why the sensors had high readings for pollution. The sensors are on the trains. You know, that's not exactly where the constituent complaint came from. So I'm just trying to figure this all out, right? And that's a process, and I'm going into it with an open mind and open heart and knowing that Catskill Mountain Railroad is an important part of our community and economic development and everything. So that storyline is going to continue. I'm going to digest this. I'm going to figure it out. I'll reach out to Mr. Hunt. We'll figure it all out. But I see that this constituent complaint has spurred an exchange that makes so clear to me that Mr. Hunt does not, and I don't want to speak directly about someone. I want to maintain decorum here, so I'm going to speak to the chair that the Castle Mountain Railroad, the representative that has responded to this complaint, in the complaint refers to the county as insidious, refers to the county as actively interfering with the grant. That shows to me that this process, the legislature is involved in the decision, is not something that the representative from the Castle Mountain Railroad is respecting. The county executive does not have the power to decide what happens with the undesignated section of the corridor. That is something that rests with the legislature based on the decision that we made in the past, based on the county charter. And to imply that the county executive not, you know, doing somersaults to go outside of their executive authority to grant this change that the Castle Mountain Railroad is asking for, to imply that their unwillingness to do that is insidious, just speaks to a level of disrespect for the legislature. I do not understand why we can't have a conversation about emissions without words like insidious getting thrown around. I just don't understand it. You have to respect this process. And this language does not respect that. I'm really coming into this with an open mind. I have talked to people who are major supporters of the railroad, and it is warming my heart towards the impact that the railroad has in the community. But I also have constituents. The train lives in my district, right? It sleeps in my district,
right? They do the track changes in my district. So when a constituent reaches out to me, I want that to be taken seriously. I don't want it to be a political opportunity to accuse the county executive, who doesn't even have the authority to wave a magic wand and solve this. All right, so I feel compelled to say that. I'm very open to confronting all of these, but I implore everyone to be very mindful to the language, because the role that the legislature plays in this decision is very, very important. And I feel that until that is recognized, it's going to be hard to have some of these conversations.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And following up on that, too, there are roles other entities play, too, in this decision. The City of Kingston has a role in this decision. We have no purview on land use in the City of Kingston. So that's one of the things that I've been hearing, too, that somehow we can magically help create a yard. We can't do that. That's not our property. It's the City of Kingston's own. There are other things that we have. I'm going to say it this way. We are going through a process, and this process does take time, as Legislature Gisella said. We are working through that process to the best of our ability, doing it as quickly as we can possibly do it, given all the information that we have, all the information that we're getting on this. And I do feel like we need to be given that time to go through it orderly and in a manner that all of us understand what's happening and all of us can participate in. And I'm reacting a little bit to an article that says that we're going to make a decision today on whether or not to be rail and trail. And that article came from the 2024 report from CMRR. They said we're going to do that. We had no plans to ever do that. We have no time to do that now. We have a lot more to do in our process. And this committee goes through December of this year. We will be finished before December of this year, hopefully much before that. But we do have until that time. So I want to make sure that we all understand that I'm not going to be pushed. We're not going to be pushed. We're going to do our due diligence. We're going to work as well and as fast as we can. But we'll do the work. Legislator Stewart.
Thank you, Chair Collins. I appreciate bringing up the point that, you know, there are other entities involved in this as well, and you mentioned the City of Kingston. I was wondering if there has been any outreach to the other municipalities that are directly affected by this.
I have not personally reached out.
Might that be something that we would consider doing?
We could, absolutely. I mean, there's town of Woodstock, town of Kingston, town of Hurley, town of, I'm missing one.
Ulster,
thank you very much. I apologize for the Ulster residents.
Yeah, well, I personally think that would be a great idea to get input from the municipalities on this as well.
That's a good idea. Legislator Nolan.
Before we leave the topic of air quality, I agree with Legislator Uchitel's comments on this letter, which didn't seem to me to be at all oriented towards problem solving. But the first, second paragraph says, first, the CMRR has a no idling policy, which its crews regularly adhere to. I don't know what the CMRR's policy is on that. So it'd be nice to know what they think that they're doing. The reports were up to an hour. That's way beyond what the county's no idling policy is. And so it wouldn't be the work of this committee, but perhaps we should look at the county's no idling policy in regard to other vehicles which have modern emissions devices and try to bring the CMRR more into line. Their engines are pre-EPA and do not have any requirement for equipment to reduce emissions. They report here that they have switched to biodiesel, which is likely to burn cleaner, but they say which does not produce diesel fumes as is made from soybeans. They're correct. Soybeans don't make diesel fumes, but soybeans or any other combustible organic material does produce nitrous oxide and other contaminants. And so for the this letter to dismiss the idea that there's air contaminants because there's been a switch to biodiesel is just not scientifically well founded. So the comment was made, the sensors that the county has asked for are inside the cabins. The county may have at this point some sensors in the Haverford Plaza location. I would recommend that this committee or you as the chair suggest to the county that we also put some air quality sensors at the site where this complaint originated at Dutch Villas.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to move on to new business, but I think what I really want to talk about is our process from here going forward. I believe that next week we all agreed to meet at 5 o'clock. Let's take the time between now and then to read the report from the professor and have him be able to present. I believe he can present on a Zoom call. That's correct, okay. What I want to do after that is I really want to have a discussion amongst ourselves, obviously in the public, but amongst ourselves, of what we feel is the best approach to what we feel we should do with a designated corridor. An open discussion, the next meeting after next week. So that'd be the February meeting. Discussion of ideas, thoughts, plans, to kind of get on paper the start of a recommendation, seeing how far we can go with that. Depending how far we go with that, at some point we'll do a public hearing with the recommendation. And then at some point after that, I think we go to the legislature, present the proposal, thank you, to the legislature as a whole, and have them have a discussion, debate, and a vote. That's kind of the long process. My anticipation is that's probably about a 3 or 4 month process. Legislator
Green,
thank you.
Sorry.
You may call me a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I see the potential for that railroad, if there is railroad trail, to install solar and have batteries driving the train and have that be a model for other tourist railroads. So I just want to toss that out there because I think biodiesel is better than diesel, but I agree that it still has emissions. But I think we could actually become a model. So I just wanted to add that into our collective thinking. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. As we look towards trying to sort things out, I think I still feel like there are claims that have been made that I don't really fully understand. So I would see maybe a need to have some additional information gathering. Legislator Stewart mentioned the other municipalities that join this corridor, and I think that it might also be useful if we're able to get an opinion from some of the planning, building people about some of the elements of the CMRR's proposal in terms of their feasibility. There's a lot that comes from being a dreamer, but I think we have to be really well grounded if we're making a recommendation that the county move in a certain direction, that we know what the likelihood of success will be if we move in direction A or direction B, direction C. So that if there's room for that to be incorporated in the outline that you proposed, that would be great.
I think there is room for that. I think that we need to look at a couple places where I keep reading that you can build it, you can do it, if, and the ifs are really important. The if is around environment, the ifs are around cost, the ifs are around a lot of different things. We have to understand what those ifs are before we can say, yeah, we'll do this, we'll do something. So I don't know if we have a good clear handle. I've seen numbers, pricing numbers that are wildly divergent. And none of these numbers, in my understanding, are done by an actual bid process. You know, I knew what the library building cost in Woodstock to renovate. I was wrong by $1 million, right? So things like that, we don't know, and those are very important considerations in what we do. And the environmental stuff is a very important consideration in what we do. And those are the kinds of things that we need to take in, you know, take thought of and have understanding of. And so part of the discussion that we have to have is, what are the things we need to find more about? And how do we find those that information and really make an informed decision? Legislator Stewart.
Pardon me. Thank you. I'm not an official member of this committee, and I do not have a vote. However, I have been coming to all of our meetings. And something that I have been frustrated with is that we, you know, we get these reports from the Catskill Mountain Railroad, and they present the facts as they see them, and then we will get a report from OSI or other organizations, and the facts that as they are presented are in contradiction of each other. We get wildly varying cost estimates from this side versus that side, and I'm finding it very difficult to figure out what is what when we're, you know, not being an engineer, being faced with wildly divergent cost estimates and studies of engineering feasibility. And it would be very helpful, I would think, if we could somehow speak to someone who can go through the information and say, well, based on our experience, it's more in line with this than that. So it just, like I say, it just seems like we're getting an awful lot of information and getting a lot of contradictory points being made. And that's the frustration that I personally am feeling. So I just wanted to air that, and hopefully we can figure out how best to address this situation.
I agree with that. I think one of the differences or one of the issues here is the definition of a trail. There's a path, and then there's a multi-use accessible trail. Those are very different things with very different costs. And we need to define what we mean by trail when we say trail. And I know what I mean, but we need to, as a group, say what we mean by a trail. I think that's one of the definitions that we need to come up with. What, you know, if we say there's going to be a trail, what does that look like? How wide is it? What's it made from? You know, is it gravel? Is it asphalt? Those things are things that we need to decide because they affect cost and they affect the viability of those things. So I think that's part of what we need to discuss as a group. What does it mean for a trail? You know, I've been on the Ashoka Rail Trail. That's a trail that's pretty wide. I've been on paths too. So what is it that we want? What is it that we, if we do say rail with trail, what's that trail look like? And that, why, the definition of that will change the price. I'm going to do legislature more, and then I'll open to public. Anyone else before I close or open to public? Okay, I'm going to do public comments. I have Kevin.
So I'm Kevin Smith. I'm chair of the Trails Advisory Committee. I'm on the Complete Streets Committee in Woodstock. I want to make sure that traffic safety and safe transportation does not drop off the table the way that it did in 2015 when the compromise policy was reached. a lot has changed in the last 10 years. And one of the things that's changed is the awareness of the devastating number of fatalities we are having on our public roadways, and including especially people outside of motor vehicles, whether they be pedestrians or people riding bicycles. It is a very vexing, challenging thing to change a transportation paradigm that has an embedded culture that goes back generations, literally now. There's a lot in transportation safety that's not under control of the county. There's a lot of decisions that can only be made at the state level by changing regulations and laws. But there are some things that are under control of the legislature and under the purview of the legislature. And this corridor, as a transportation corridor and safe passage for people outside motor vehicles, is one of those things that is in your control. You can make a meaningful difference and save lives by the decisions that you make regarding this corridor. And I want to make sure that that's included in the committee's process and the legislature's process this time around. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
Ma'am. My name is Helen Chase. I had prepared some little words in case I could have spoken them. Just to reiterate what I sent to you all, but in different thoughts and different words. What the Catskill Mountain Railroad has done is when circumstances change, one becomes creative and figures out what to do next. You adjust, and the Catskill Mountain Railroad is doing this consistently. If there were an opportunity, could I speak some of the words that I had, would I be allowed to do that?
I'm gonna try and keep the public speaking to a relatively, I'm going to try and keep it to a limit, too. So the whole letter is very long, but if you wanted to speak one or two passages of it, that's fine.
Okay, I'll try to, I tried to keep it down below 3 minutes.
Okay, that's fine.
But I will right now exclude the part that explains who I am.
Okay.
Both areas are concerned with the same issues of not enough housing, not enough people to fill the jobs that do exist in both areas, how to change our economies, directed more toward information technology, and the possibility of working remotely while also enhancing our efforts to continue bringing tourists to our area. The CMRR has been very good at when circumstances change, think creatively and adjust. The CMRR has had to do this consistently. More power to the CMRR and its owners for their heart and brains to be able to either go with the flow or, in this case, be ahead of the flow in obtaining its own dedicated funding from the New York State DOT to help with the extension to Basin Road. There's so much potential involved with extension of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. The Catskill Mountain Scenic Byway and the CMRR are very compatible with what we are trying to do to make our region more interesting and inviting and to bring more tourists to our Route 28 corridor. Open your minds to the possibilities and the potential that adds to the other modes of transportation along the same corridor, and to the many points of interest that can be visited by combining these various modes. Catskill Mountain Railroad has something very special to offer. It is the only working railroad in Ulster County, and it pays its own way in the economy of Ulster County. The New York State DOT has such faith in what the CMRR will be hopes to do that it provided about $700,000 to pay for the extension. The CMRR will be able to provide links at both ends of its existing track. The remaining 1.7 miles will allow it to provide for an exceptional link at the Basin Road end, where it can have a real terminus, a facility to welcome travelers to both the Catskill Mountain Railroad and the Ashokan Rail Trail. It can also be part of a greater plan that the Catskill Mountain Scenic Byway hopes to see in the near future, with the addition of the town of Hurley and its hamlet of West Hurley at the eastern end, and the town of Roxbury added at its western end. The byway currently ends at the town of Andes. The possibilities for intermodal travel are endless between Ulster County from south of Kingston and within Kingston to Delaware County, integrating the Catskill Mountain Railroad with the other forms that already exist or are in the brainstorming and planning stage. The Catskill Mountain Railroad is the hub. We need it. Think about the exhilaration of traveling in an open railroad car on a warm and sunny day with the wind in your hair, or traveling on a bitter cold day inside a warm railroad car with Santa walking down the aisle to visit with you, or traveling on a lovely fall evening at dusk with happy fiddlers and guitarists providing music while you lean on the railing with your sweetheart beside you. And I'm not going to say the rest, so thank you for letting me read that.
Thank you. We all have the letter, so we will be reading the letter too. Thank you. We all have the letter in addition to
that. Now you have my letter, but you don't have these words, which are slightly different.
Okay. Sounded like we read from the letter, but that's okay.
But I'll give you a copy of it.
Okay. Meg.
I would just like to clarify that already the town boards of Hurley, Kingston, and Ulster have supported the extension of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. So it don't need to reinvent the wheel. Some of us who've been involved for 13 or more years, there's a lot of institutional history that many people in this room have. And I just want to say that the towns that the railroad goes through, with the exception at this moment of Woodstock, are all in support.
And Woodstock has passed a resolution, memorializing resolution, asking for the legislature to make a trail connection to Kingston and to the Ashokan.
Max Sanders, a citizen. I'm just hearing a little bit of discussion about what the criteria of decision might be, and it seems to me if you haven't, and I'm not sure if you have or haven't, if you haven't discussed it as a committee, what criteria you might use to make the decision, perhaps brainstorming that would be helpful, and then you can make sure that you get the information from all of the various entities to make that decision.
Thank you, Maxine. Anyone else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Seconded by Megan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good work, too.
All right, so we're good for next Thursday.
Yeah.
Next Thursday.
No, it was
Warm enough for you?
It's warm enough now. It's not that it's there's no bad weather. It's bad.
Good night, Rose. Good to see you.